Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll free, 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back. Second hour, Friday, Catholic Answers Live. It's going to be a good one, too. We hear a great deal about the new evangelization term made common by Pope John Paul II. It was really kind of an organizing principle for the church now, really for the last couple decades. But what about the old evangelization, the kind that Jesus engaged in? That's our topic this hour. And if you have questions about Jesus' own manner of spreading the faith, give us a call, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Our guest this hour is Eric Sammons. Eric's been studying Catholic teaching for more than 20 years and holds a master's degree in theology from Franciscan University. He's the author of 5 books, including most recently this one right here if you're watching, The Old Evangelization, How to Spread the Faith Like Jesus Did. Eric Sammons, thank you so much for being with us on Catholic Answers Live.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
And did I get it right? 5 books?
Yes. Well, I actually have I wrote a high school textbook on ecumenism and interreligious dialogue as well for the Didache series.
That's so. 6 then. I'm counting that. That's 6.
Yeah.
There's no reason.
Yeah. It was a lot of work, so yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll count it as 6. If you have questions for Eric Sammons about the old evangelization, we strongly encourage you to give us a call now before the lines fill up. 888-318-7884 is the number, or if you prefer the spelled version, 888-31-TRUTH. And also, you know that we're giving your book away for free.
I heard that. That's interesting. Profit motive there.
So you definitely want to call.
Yeah.
So we're going to take anybody who's all callers who get on the air today in this hour are going to get a free copy of this book, The Old Evangelization. And even if you don't get on the air, you can get 25% off on the book if you buy it online with the promo code FAITH. That's on either the soft cover or the ebook, and you just go to Catholic.com and make a purchase there. But don't forget that promo code FAITH. You get 25% off on the book. Or the even cheaper way is just call and have a really interesting question so that we can get you on the air. 888-318-7884 is that number. Now, when you, Eric, use the term the old evangelization, are you trying to make a contrast? And is that contrast in any way negative with the new evangelization?
That's a great question. Of course, it is in a sense. It is a critique. It's not a critique of what St. John Paul II called for in the new evangelization. Instead, it's a bit of a critique from what I've seen in all my years of doing evangelization in the Catholic Church, in that the new evangelization in a way has become co-opted. That a lot of things are being called the new evangelization, which aren't really that new and they're not really evangelization. And so really it's more of a statement, though, of the new evangelization has to be based upon the old evangelization. You know, as Catholics, we don't reject our tradition. We don't try to invent new things every year to figure out the new ways to do things. We look at how Jesus did things. We look at how the saints have done things. And we look at our tradition. And so that's really what we're trying to do here. What I was trying to do in the book is look at the tradition of the church in evangelization, not forget all of that, as we might be in new situations at times today with evangelization, but the core way evangelization is the same with Jesus as it was with the saints and as it should be for us today.
And can you give us some of the outlines? So, just to recap, this new evangelization thing has become so much of a byword, really, in the Catholic world throughout the papacy of John Paul II. It is sometimes corrupted to just mean almost anything people want it to mean, not necessarily to mean what the Pope meant by it.
Absolutely. And I've seen that over and over again. When I worked in parishes, when I've worked with other Catholics, different programs and stuff, basically anything they thought, let's try to bring people in, they called the new evangelization. Mm-hmm. And obviously, it's a good motive to want to bring people in. Nothing wrong with that. But oftentimes I found it was based more on maybe like Protestant ways of doing things, like maybe how Joel Osteen would bring people in, or even be based on like corporate marketing. And I found that, and but they call it the new evangelization because it's new and it's kind of evangelization. But we got to remember the principles, the core principles of what it means to evangelize as Catholics before we start calling things evangelization, new or otherwise.
I wonder if that maybe some of that is because we don't want to have skin in the game. It's easier to stay at a little bit of a remove from evangelization by saying, well, we got this great marketing campaign, or we're doing this, you know, as you said, Joel Osteen kind of thing.
Right.
And evangelization is hard.
It is. And it's controversial because when you evangelize, what you're saying is, I believe that I have found the fullness of the truth in the Catholic Church. And I believe that it's best for you to accept that truth, to convert to Catholicism, or if you're maybe a non-practicing Catholic, revert to your Catholic faith and live a completely different lifestyle than you're living. And if there's one thing in our world, in our culture today, that's controversial, is telling people they should live differently than they're living. And so you're right. That's exactly what happens, is it gets watered down and it becomes just maybe a marketing campaign of, hey, you know, we're Catholics. We're here. It's nice to be Catholic. You know, if you feel like it and you don't have your own church community, why don't you join us? But evangelization, as it was done by Jesus, done by the saints, you know, St. Paul, St. Francis Xavier, you know, the great evangelizers, it was, hey, you need to become Catholic. Your soul depends upon it. And so that's what I'm really trying to get at in this book, is to say, when we evangelize, we have to recognize the controversial nature of it and embrace that controversial nature, even not shy away from it.
If your Jesus is not really controversial, it might not be the actual Jesus, is what you're saying.
That's right. It's not the real Jesus. Because if you look at, I mean, obviously Jesus was pretty controversial because he died for what he was saying and for what he was doing. And so now we may not have to die for our faith, but you know, you look at St. Paul did, and because he was very controversial as well. And so it's not like we're trying to find controversy just to find it, yet at the same time, we can't avoid it. In our culture today, if we're going to evangelize like Jesus did, like the saints did, we're going to rub some people wrong. We're going to ruffle some feathers.
888-318-7884. If you'd like to discuss evangelization, and if we're able to get you on the air, get this free book, The Old Evangelization, How to Spread the Faith Like Jesus Did, by our guest today, Eric Sammons, then you want to dial that number, 888-318-7884. Can you give us a little, before we have to go to a break and then we'll get to calls, can you give us a little bit of a taste of what do you mean by evangelize the way Jesus did?
Well, what I do in the book is each chapter, I take an example of Jesus evangelizing, and I use it as a kind of a starting point for how we can then do it today. So, for example, the cover is a painting of the Samaritan woman at the well, when Jesus encounters her at the well. And it's a beautiful story, and it's a perfect example, probably the best one we have, of Jesus evangelizing. And so that's really what I'm doing, is I'm looking, how did Jesus do it? And that story is a great one because, if we remember, he's talking to this woman at the well. He shouldn't really be talking to her by the cultural norms of the day. He's leading her, though, into a deeper understanding of his mission, of who he is, his identity as the Messiah, as the Son of God. But then he hits a point where he has to confront her. Because if you remember, she had, you know, five husbands before, and the man she lives with now is even her husband. And so he confronts her with it. And that's something I think today we avoid like the plague. I mean, think about it. He's questioning her marriage situation. We don't want to do that anymore. And so this is an example of how Jesus did it, and we use him as a model for everything, and so we may be called to do something similar. So that's an example, but each chapter takes some encounter Jesus has with somebody and how he evangelizes and uses an example for us.
Eric Sammons is our guest. The book, The Old Evangelization, the number 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. We'll take a quick break and we'll be right back with your calls on The Old Evangelization here at Catholic Answers Live.
Let us help you with your question today on Catholic Answers Live.
We've all heard the phrase, the new evangelization. In previous centuries, missionaries would travel to foreign lands to evangelize, but today's missionaries are more likely to focus on fallen away Catholic neighbors or relatives. But what about the old evangelization? The two millennia of Catholic missionary efforts by the likes of St. Paul, St. Augustine of Canterbury, St. Francis Xavier, and most importantly, our Lord Himself. We must not forget the methods they used to spread the faith to the farthest reaches of the world. Our situation may be new, but the essentials of evangelization always remain the same. In his new book, The Old Evangelization, How to Spread the Faith Like Jesus Did, author Eric Sammons provides a practical guide to putting these essentials into practice in everyday use in your interactions with family, friends, coworkers, and even fellow parishioners. Order your copy of The Old Evangelization today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Wouldn't it be great to have a book to give to anyone to explain exactly why Catholics believe what we believe? The good news is that now there is. Why We're Catholic is the groundbreaking new resource by apologist Trent Horn. That one book you can hand to anyone as a starting point for helping them find their way into or back to the practice of the Catholic faith. Don't miss out on the most important, life-changing book to come along in years. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
St. Paul's street evangelization isn't like other evangelism you might have seen on the streets. We don't yell, and we don't force anyone to pay attention to us. Instead, St. Paul's street evangelization is committed to presenting a positive, passionately Catholic presence to a world hungry for truth. For more information, or to start a chapter of your own, go to www.streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com. It's time to do our part.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
The old evangelization, evangelizing the way Jesus did it. That's our topic this hour. Eric Sammons, the author of The Old Evangelization, How to Spread the Faith Like Jesus Did, is our guest. And Eric, if it's all right with you, we'll just go straight to phones.
That's great.
We go to Patrick in Rockwell, Texas, listening on 9:10 a.m. Patrick, your question for Eric Sammons.
Hi, Eric. Glad you're on the air.
Hey, Patrick.
I'm a member of St. Paul Street Evangelization, and I've heard about the book, you know, on the show. And the main question I have is, how does the old evangelization, the new evangelization, how do they relate to each other? And very specifically, kind of like we're on the streets doing kind of, you know, sort of in the realm of what Jesus did. So how does what we're doing relate to what he did?
Hey, great. Thanks for the question, Patrick. First of all, I love St. Paul Street Evangelization. I think you guys are doing great work, and God bless you for the work you're doing, and keep it up. It's a great organization. I think really what I'm trying to say is the old evangelization should be the basis, the foundation of the new evangelization. And I think at times we get away from that. When John Paul II called for the new evangelization, he didn't want to abandon the ways we had evangelized in the past. He was more saying, okay, we're in a new situation here where we have lots of Catholics who are uncatechized or unevangelized. They may be in the pews. They may be falling away. They're baptized, but we need to evangelize them. Whereas historically, the people we evangelize usually are missionary territory, people who had never even heard of Jesus. And so here with the new evangelization, though, we still have to have the same core way of evangelizing, the sense of we have personal one-on-one encounters with people. We talk to them about our faith. We talk to them about how Jesus has impacted our lives for the better, how he can impact their life, and how we have to change our lives, and that Jesus may be calling us to a different way of living. And so really, that's the old evangelization. And the new evangelization, if done properly, will be based upon that. So I don't see necessarily a contrast with them if they're properly done. But I would say that in some cases today, I've seen in parish life and other places where people call things new evangelization, and really it's just like a fancy marketing program. It's not going in the streets like the St. Paul street evangelization is.
Patrick?
Okay, no, that makes a lot of sense. Very grateful. Thank you.
All right. And thank you for being out there on the street, Patrick. We go now to Bill in Sacramento, California, listening on EWTN. Bill, you are on with Patrick Sammons. What's your question?
I'm getting ready to go out to St. Paul Street Evangelization. I'm getting ready to start paying my $15 a month and studying my training videos. And I wanted to request a check of my motivation to see that, however much I might think that that I'm doing it for the right reason, that you could tell me even better. I'm looking at James chapter 5, verse 20. Let's see. If anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. My motivation is that I feel that if I can be instrumental in just one person being converted, that it could, then maybe I would receive grace to be released from attachment to sin, so that if I might get an indulgence, that it could be truly effective. But I was wondering if you could improve me on that, if you could tell me how better to think about it going in, so I'm like at a starting point.
Well, first of all, I don't think there's anything wrong with that motivation. I think the church gives us indulgences for reasons that we do good works. So we do these things that God calls us to do. So that, number one, there's nothing wrong with that motivation. The church has always said that the best motivation of doing anything is love of God and then love of neighbor. And so the number one reason you would want somebody to convert, to bring themselves into the Catholic Church, is love of them, because you love that person. Maybe it's a spouse or a child or a neighbor or a friend or a stranger, whoever it is. If you have love for their soul, you will want to bring them into the fullness of the faith in the Catholic Church. And so that should always be, and to glorify God, who is above all things and who we should love above all things. So that really is probably the foundational motivation. But there's absolutely nothing wrong with a motivation that also says, hey, I am serving Christ, I'm doing his will, and graces will pour upon me, and it will help me to get to heaven, because, you know, that is our goal in life, is we want to be with God forever in heaven. So I wouldn't say anything's wrong with your motivation, just always be remembering that the reason you're trying to bring people into the faith is because out of love for their soul.
How's that strike you, Bill?
Oh, that's wonderful. You guys are just, it's honey in my ears. Thank you.
Oh, thank you very, very much, Bill. That was a very nice call to get. We go now to Anonymous somewhere on the earth, I assume, because there's not very many people in space right now. So, Anonymous, you are on with Patrick Sammons. What's your question?
Hi. First of all, I'd like to say I'm thrilled to hear someone else who has noticed, someone professional who's noticed, that there's a style move away from classical Roman Catholicism to Protestantism, which just smacks of commerce and business. And I think it's really dangerous, sort of going back to the previous caller's point of being sure that it's the will of God who's calling you and not just your ego setting up business goals like marketing goals, which are religious about evangelization. And I wanted to ask your guest about the issue of first being properly catechized before you go out to witness.
Okay.
And evangelize. Thank you.
You're welcome, Eric.
Yeah, that's a great question. The truth, I would say, do you have to be properly catechized to go out and evangelize? Yes and no. Yes, in the sense that the better catechized you are, the better you'll be able to evangelize, because you'll be able to explain the faith. You'll be able to explain the reasons why we believe what we believe. So when you're challenged in your faith, you'll be able to answer those questions. But I'd also say don't let that be a hindrance in the sense that you never go out because you don't feel like you're ever properly catechized. The fact is, the number one best way to evangelize is to tell the story of how Jesus impacted your life, of how being a Catholic makes your life better. And so you don't have to necessarily know every line of the catechism or of the Bible to be able to tell that story. So you can always start with that, about how Jesus impacted your life, how the church impacts your life. And then as you evangelize more, what you'll find is you'll start getting questions that you don't know the answer to. And then you have to go look them up. You go to the catechism, you go to Catholic.com, you go to the scriptures, whatever the case may be. So yes, we should try as hard as we can to be properly catechized, but don't let it hold us back from sharing our faith with others.
Thank you very much for that call, Anonymous. We go now to Ann in Jacksonville, Missouri, listening on 1460 AM. Ann, your question for Eric Sammons.
Hello.
Hi, Ann. You have a question for Eric Sammons?
One of the Catholic churches in Jacksonville is doing a street evangelist. Each person gets a street, and they go down it. And they're inviting people to a cookout on Saturdays. And then when you go to the cookout, people talk to them, introduce themselves, and then try to evangelize individually. Is that sort of still following in the line of what you're talking about?
It is. In fact, I think that's a great idea. One of the challenges of Catholics when they evangelize is, what do you invite people to? I talk about this in the book some, because a Protestant invites them to their worship service and they just say, hey, come here, and they'll probably get an altar call or something like that. But as a Catholic, if we invite them just simply to the Mass, well, if they're not Catholic, we have to explain a lot to them before they get there. If they are Catholic, but maybe they haven't gone to Mass in years and they're not in a state of grace, we have to explain to them the rules of communion, things like that. And so sometimes Mass isn't the best entry point. Often it's not the best entry point. Really, other things are. And something like a barbecue is a great idea, because you can just have them come and talk, and you can share your faith. You can talk about your parish. You can talk about Christ, his role in the church, and what the church does. So actually, I think that's a great idea if while you're at the barbecue, you're doing things to evangelize the people who come. And you know, the fact that you're going out inviting them is a great thing. You're saying, hey, here we are. Please come and find out more about us. So yeah, I think that's a great idea.
What do you think, Ann?
Well, I think so, too. I just want to make sure it was what you were referring to, because we're not really evangelizing until they go, you know, we're just inviting them, hello, how are you, we're in your neighborhood.
Yep. Right. Well, it seems like to you, Eric, how important would you say the personal touch is? That seems to be a real key part of what you're describing as the new the old evangelization.
It is, about 100% of it. And I really do think it's the personal touch. If you look at Jesus, he wasn't a person who went all around the Roman Empire trying to convert large numbers of people. He spent the vast majority of his time and energy on 12 men, and he got them prepared. He shared who he was with them. And yes, he did do more preaching, and he talked to other people, of course, but the focus of his work was those 12 men. And then they went out. And actually, I read a great book years ago by a sociologist about how Christianity spread in the first 300 years of the Roman Empire. And what he said was, it really was more about just individual Christians having impact with the people around them, that in the marketplace, in the family, and with their friends, they would share their faith, would witness to their faith, and that would impact others. And even something like a martyrdom is a personal act, because oftentimes you'd hear where a soldier who was involved in the killing of the martyr would then convert based upon the witness of the person. And so I really think that evangelization is at its core a personal one-on-one encounter between two people, in which you share what it is you believe with that person, and that person opens up to you. In fact, I saw a stat one time. They said this is about Mormons, but the figure is basically, you know, makes sense, is that if, you know, Mormons go door to door and they share their faith, we all have probably encountered that, and they found that if the person they talked to had didn't know any Mormons personally, they had about 1 in 10,000 of that person converting. If, however, the person at the house knew a Mormon and was friends with them, they had about 1 in 150 chance of converting them. So you can see how the personal touch, knowing people. So as Catholics, if we're friends with non-Catholics, they get to know about the faith, and that has an impact on their life and allows them to see the Catholic faith and, you know, hopefully understand and appreciate it more.
It gives you a sense, too, of that idea of reaping what you didn't sow, that when the evangelist comes to the door, for example, it's all the relationships that the person had before that with Catholics that are decisive, not necessarily the quality of the evangelist themselves.
Absolutely. And somebody, and I put this in the book, and somebody basically told me that once, when somebody converts to a new faith, so for example, I grew up Protestant and then I became Catholic. They said that usually they have about 150 points of contact that lead to that conversion. In other words, I encountered Catholicism at one point, and then eventually, though, it took 150 points before I became Catholic.
That's boy, that then we all better be evangelists to start hitting all 150 points on those around us. More with Eric Sammons, author of The Old Evangelization, on the topic of the old evangelization when we come back. And everybody who gets through on the line to be on the air today gets a free copy of the book. 888-318-7884 is the number. We'll be right back on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live. The only thing missing from today's broadcast is you. Call now with your question.
We've all heard the phrase, the new evangelization. In previous centuries, missionaries would travel to foreign lands to evangelize, but today's missionaries are more likely to focus on fallen away Catholic neighbors or relatives. But what about the old evangelization? The two millennia of Catholic missionary efforts by the likes of St. Paul, St. Augustine of Canterbury, St. Francis Xavier, and most importantly, our Lord Himself. We must not forget the methods they used to spread the faith to the farthest reaches of the world. Our situation may be new, but the essentials of evangelization always remain the same. In his new book, The Old Evangelization, How to Spread the Faith Like Jesus Did, author Eric Sammons provides a practical guide to putting these essentials into practice in everyday use in your interactions with family, friends, coworkers, and even fellow parishioners. Order your copy of The Old Evangelization today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
We as Catholics need to stand strong, to be prepared to mount a daily defense, to respond to the many challenges that we as believers are presented with every day. Jimmy Akin is here to help. His innovative new book, A Daily Defense, takes up a different challenge for every day of the year, 366 in all, teaching you how you can defend the faith and give answers to Catholics and skeptics alike. And it's user-friendly, with challenges and answers indexed alphabetically, so finding the answers can be quick and easy. Order your copy of A Daily Defense today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Tomorrow on EWTN Register Radio, Edward Penton covers the Pope's trip to Egypt, and EWTN News Nightly's Jason Calvi discusses President Trump's first 100 days in office. Register Radio airs each Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. And right after Catholic Answers Live today, Father Spitzer's Universe, Father Robert Spitzer and Doug Keck continue their examination of Jesus' resurrection and the Shroud of Turin right here on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Well, everybody who calls is getting, if they get through on the line, I should say, if you make it onto the air, you get a free copy of The Old Evangelization, How to Spread the Faith Like Jesus Did. The author of that book, Eric Sammons, is our guest this hour, and we are talking evangelization. Loads and loads of people want to talk about evangelization as well. 888-318-7884 is the number if you want to get through. 888-31-TRUTH. And we go now to David, and David is in an anonymous location. There's a lot of anonymity today. Hi, David. You're on with Eric Sammons. What's your question?
Yes, I'd like to ask a question. When Jesus ministered to the rich young ruler, his input on that, because I love that story, because it said Jesus loved him much, but Jesus still let him walk, and Jesus didn't try to cut a deal with him like the TV preachers today say, hey, if you give to the poor, you lend to God, you'll be rich. Jesus just let him walk, and when I just want his input on that, because when I see Jesus doing evangelism, I see Jesus, like John 6, calling people to total surrender with compassion and love, and I just wanted his input.
Oh, thank you for the question. Actually, that's probably my favorite story in the entire Bible, and I have a whole chapter devoted to it in the book. And one of the things I bring up about is what you just said, is in a sense, Jesus failed. What I mean by that is simply that the rich young man did not convert, as far as we know. Yet, do we really think Jesus is a failure because of that? Obviously, he's the perfect Son of God. He doesn't actually fail. But what the lesson I think for us is that you can do everything right. You can share your faith with somebody, explain the faith well. You can be a good witness to it. that does not necessarily mean the person you are evangelizing will convert. And in fact, there's a decent chance they won't convert. Does that mean you did something wrong? No. It might mean just the Holy Spirit, you know, the other person didn't listen to the Holy Spirit and didn't open their heart to him. And what I've seen is this is kind of a pet peeve of mine, because I see so many parishes and so many Catholics that they are so focused on results. They think if they don't get a lot of people there, or if people are offended or they are turned away, then that means they failed. No, success is being faithful to Christ. Success is charitably but clearly explaining what it is we believe and why we believe it. It does not mean that the other person will necessarily accept what we say, or that they'll say, hey, great, yeah, baptize me today. They may not. But Jesus, as the caller so wisely mentioned, Jesus had to let the rich young man go because he wasn't ready to accept the hard teaching of Jesus that you have to give up your whole life for him. And so I think the rich young man is a great example for evangelizers. And frankly, I've been doing this for 25 years. I have way more failures under my belt than successes. So that's probably why this is my favorite story, because it makes me not feel so bad that I have so many failures under my belt, that even Jesus failed, so to speak, in his evangelization.
Is that your thinking as well, David?
Yeah, very much so. But what I love about it was Jesus loved it much, and that's what really touches me. Just imagine Bill Gates coming to the typical Catholic church, falling on his knees, asking the priest, what must I do to be Catholic? I mean, some churches would think, man, we're set for life. Look at his time. But Jesus loved him much, and he spoke the truth to him right off the bat, and he let him walk. It's just so touching. It's one of my favorite stories in the Bible.
It is beautiful.
Well, thank you very much for that, David. I wonder if you, Eric, there's a way then of thinking if success and failure is not a matter of how many people did I convert, then some things that are churches or call themselves churches are a success, but maybe that's a worldly success, not in fact a success for the kingdom of God.
Right. If a church has, you know, thousands of members, but they're not preaching the gospel, then they're not a success, at least in the eyes of God. Because lots of things bring lots of people in. I mean, you get millions of people going to sporting events. That doesn't mean they're, you know, being successful evangelists. It just means that they're popular and people like to hear what they hear. Now, we know as Catholics that the truth will set somebody free, and the truth is beautiful. But somebody has to be open to that. And so the most successful parish in the world might be a parish that only has – it might be a tiny parish in the middle of nowhere, but the priest is preaching the gospel, the people are living it and really sharing it with others, but they just might not have lots of people. That might be one of the most successful parishes on the earth in the eyes of God.
We go now to Shirley in Portland, Oregon, listening on KBVM. Shirley, you are on – with Wayne, are you? I'm looking for the Shirley. You're on with Eric Sammons. What's your question?
I have a both a comment and a. I guess I would see what you think about it, or if you've heard this before. I've also experienced in other cities. Ever since Vatican II, there's been a very steep incline in the teaching of religion in the Catholic schools and also in the academics. I think it's been since nuns and priests have left the church. And just this huge influx of teaching and featuring sports. And the academics are low and the teaching of religion is low. And I think that's a big decline in evangelical teaching the religion.
Yep, Eric,
that's what I've noticed, especially in the city I'm in now. The sports are huge.
Let's let Eric Sammons respond to that.
Yeah, and the truth is, I'm a sports fan, but you're absolutely right. What you're saying, that whenever anything in this world takes precedence over the most important thing, which is our relationship with Christ, our reception of the sacraments, living the faith. Whenever anything takes precedence over that, then it's not good. It's not going to end up well. And in fact, doing something like focusing on sports, kind of going back to our previous question, might bring people in. It might get a lot of people in. But if the whole focus is on sports or on some other aspect of extracurricular activity, it's not going to be a Catholic school anymore. I mean, it's just going to be a school that might have a crucifix up in the rooms. And really, what we need to make sure is the schools really focus on Catholicism. Now, there's nothing wrong with also having some sports teams and different extracurricular activities. Those things are healthy when they're put in the proper context. But we always want to make sure the focus, the most important thing in every school, is the teaching and the living of the Catholic faith.
And Eric, schools that do that, schools that have a vibrant Catholic faith, that really are excited about sharing the Catholic faith in their day, they do tend to flourish as well. I mean, it's probably they don't all flourish. There's situations that are different. But there is something very attractive about a school that's full in its love of the Catholic faith and in its expression of the Catholic faith.
Absolutely. And frankly, it stands out. Is kind of a sad indictment in some ways, but it stands out. And so parents are attracted to that because they see, hey, these people really believe they are who they say they are. I mean, if you say you're Catholic, but you don't really live out or teach the Catholic faith, well, you're kind of a fraud. And what parent wants to send their kid to a fraudulent place? And the parish is doing that too. Who wants to go to a fraudulent place? In fact, I know a lot of people who grew up Catholic and ended up becoming Protestant because they wanted to draw closer to Jesus. And the reason is because they never saw Jesus being taught or lived or believed in at their Catholic parish, which is a terrible indictment and something all of us Catholics need to say, hey, we need to make sure that never happens in our parishes. We don't have people leaving us because they want to draw closer to Jesus in the local non-denominational church or something like that.
Do you have – I mean, other than Jesus himself, do you have a favorite evangelist, someone – even throughout the whole history of the church where you go, that's somebody I really
– Well – I mean, my real answer is the cliched one, which is St. Paul. I mean, I just love St. Paul. I love reading, you know, the story of his life. I love reading his epistles, things like that. St. Francis of Assisi, you know, I love him. St. Augustine of Canterbury, I love his story. My whole family is from, you know, roots way back English. And so the fact he converted Britain, and it was a great story because he didn't want to go. The Pope sent him. And he and some of his brothers, and he didn't want to go. And he turned around. They went back and told the Pope, no, we can't do this. He's like, no, you're really going to go. He goes. They fail at first with the king. And, you know, but the king's like, well, you can go around if you want to. And eventually, of course, you know, the island is converted. So I would probably say St. Augustine of Canterbury is another one of my favorites.
888-318-7884 is the number. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Eric Sammons and more on the old evangelization. 888-318-7884 is that number. We'll be right back on Catholic Answers Live.
This is Dale Alquist of the American Chesterton Society, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
We've all heard the words at the end of Mass,
go forth and announce the gospel of the Lord.
But how exactly are you to do that? In his new book, The Old Evangelization, How to Spread the Faith Like Jesus Did, apologist Eric Sammons takes you back to the source, taking a look at what Jesus did when he preached the good news and drawing out the lessons he taught us. All evangelization begins with a personal encounter, and so Sammons examines Jesus' most instructive gospel encounters and discovers within each a particular truth that even 2,000 years later can help us make new disciples. Evangelization is not an option, but Christ's express command. What better way to answer this call than by imitating his supreme example? Order your copy of The Old Evangelization today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In John 6, when Jesus had crossed the Sea of Galilee, a large crowd followed him because they saw the signs he was performing. When he noticed the size of the crowd, he took 5 barley loaves and 2 fish and miraculously fed them all with food left over. It has been suggested that the people actually had more food than was previously apparent, and that the real miracle lay in the fact that they actually shared what they had with each other. There is absolutely no evidence of this in the gospel. This stance actually suggests that there is more value in a purely human explanation than in having faith in the Lord's ability to work a miracle. But over and over, Jesus said to those he had healed, "It is your faith that has saved you." Nowhere do we find him saying, "It is your natural explanation that has saved you." Nor will such lack of faith ever save us. Our only hope lies in our faith in him. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back. Final segment of Catholic Answers Live this week. I feel sad. I want to keep doing this. Can we come in on Saturday and Sunday? This is a fun week. The Old Evangelization, How to Spread the Faith Like Jesus Did. That's the book by Eric Sammons. Everyone who calls and gets through on the line today is getting a free copy of that from Catholic Answers Press. But you can also buy the book if you just put in the promo code FAITH, and that's F-A-I-T-H. You get 25% off the book at Catholic.com. We go now to Michael in Los Angeles, California. I don't know. I'm in trouble with the phones today on Immaculate Heart Radio. Michael, you are on with Eric Sammons. I went to the wrong line. I really am having trouble today. I was kind of joking, but I really am actually having trouble. Michael in Los Angeles, you are on with Eric Sammons.
Hi.
Michael?
Hi.
You have a question for Eric Sammons?
Yes. My question is evangelization of Protestants. For example, your book, I'm interested to know, you have examples of Jesus evangelization that can help dispel the doctrine of faith alone. Because I really have problems in the past, especially they will always argue with me, well, if you go to Catholic sources, it's invalid. And I also argue with them that the earlier Christian churches, communities, even with geopolitical isolation, show remarkable evidence of preservation or essence, for example, the sacraments, which, again, I find that, the Protestants even refuse that. So I just wonder if your book will help me, give me examples saying Jesus' evangelization, it really, goes against the doctrine of faith alone.
The book, it's divided in three sections. In the last section, I specifically deal with being a Catholic evangelist. Like, the first two sections are somewhat general evangelization methods of Jesus that probably any Christian would be able to pick up and use fruitfully. But the last section, I talk specifically about being a Catholic evangelist. Now, I don't specifically deal with the faith alone issue, but for example, I talk about the John 6 when Jesus talks about him being the bread of life, and if you don't eat of this bread and drink, then you won't have life. If you don't eat his flesh, you won't have life within you. And so I talk about that. And I think the real key here is that when we're evangelizing with Protestants, we, of course, have a large amount of things in common, beliefs in common. But I think if we really focus on the Gospels, like Protestants typically tend to focus on Paul's epistles more than the Gospels. But if we really look at the Gospels, we see things like Jesus saying, if you don't eat my flesh, you cannot have eternal life. And what did he tell the rich young man who we were just talking about earlier? When the rich young man said, how can I receive eternal life? He didn't say, well, receive me as your personal Lord and Savior and you're good to go. No, he first repeated the Ten Commandments. And when the man said, okay, I've done that, he then said, well, now you have to sell all that you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me. That's not a faith alone answer. That is, you have to do something. You have to actually do morality, first of all, the Ten Commandments, and then you have to give everything up for Christ in order to be his disciple. So right there, in a way, that's directly against faith alone, because he didn't say just believe in me. He said you have to do these things. So I think there are some very useful parts in the book that would help you. But I think in general what we do is just focus on Jesus, his teachings in the gospel, and we see a number of places where what our Protestant brothers and sisters believe doesn't really correspond to what Jesus is teaching.
Michael?
Yeah. That's a great answer. I always tell them, look, we as Christians, we need to carry the cross. But I just think faith alone is more of a black and white. It's if you're really afraid to approach God's grace, so you more or less have an excuse that faith alone, just believing, allows you to receive the grace. But I think most as Christians, we always can't look things black and white. We have to work at our faith and try to look at the gospel as a book of joy rather than something of condemnation. If you don't believe, this is going to happen to you. No, I think it's more like we should work at this and we make it the world a better world. If you really believe in this, your life is going to be better.
You amen to that, brother. It is a book of joy. It's called the Good News for a reason. And Michael, don't hang up. Hang on, because I figured out why I was having trouble with the phone lines. I was pushing lines when they were trying to get your name and address so that you could get the book for free. So I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to have any more problems with that now that I understand it. But don't go away, Michael. We go to Anonymous. You are on with Eric Sammons. Anonymous, your question.
Hi, I have a question. How do you approach somebody that is of a different religion, like Muslim or Hindu, and they're very devout and they're from that region? How do you go about essentially debunking their religion and introducing Catholicism?
Well, I think the first thing, a lot of prayer, lots and lots of prayer, because obviously if somebody lives in an area where the predominant religion is not Catholicism, let's say it's Islam, then they're going to have a lot of reasons to remain Islam, Muslim, besides just their beliefs, but a lot of social reasons, things like that. So really, it's always true, it's only the Holy Spirit that converts somebody, but you really see that in action when somebody, for example, a Muslim would convert. I think first of all, what we have to do is always be clear that we don't believe that those faiths like Islam can lead somebody to heaven. That we believe the Catholic Church is the true faith and is the way that that God has given us to get to heaven. Now, the beliefs of Islam correspond to the beliefs of Catholicism, and so we can accept those and we can say, yes, we agree with that. But I would say we have to focus on the person of Jesus. In the case of Islam, for example, they do believe that Jesus is a prophet, and yet they believe certain things that are false about him. Like, for example, he wasn't crucified, because in their idea, a great prophet would never be killed so shamelessly like that. And so I think if we focus on Jesus and the person of Jesus, who he is, that if you look at what he said about himself, he can't just be a prophet. You know, like C.S. Lewis said, he has to be more than that, or he has to be a big fat liar. And so calling him just a prophet is a cop-out. And so I think if we focus on the person of Jesus, so what we do is we lead that person to develop a relationship with him and hopefully accept him eventually as Lord and Savior, and that as the founder of the Catholic Church and eventually into the fullness of faith. But it's incredibly difficult. I mean, look at the history of 2,000 years. We have not been able to – the Catholic Church has not been able to crack Asia really that successfully, or you know, these days the Middle East for the past hundreds of – over 1,000 years now. It's not going to be easy, but I think with prayer, if we, you know, fasting, mortification, and then just sharing who Jesus is, I think that's the way we have to go with people of Islam faith or any other religion like that.
Thank you very much, Anonymous, for that call. We go now to Trixie in California, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. Trixie, you are on with Eric Sammons. What's your question?
Thank you for taking my call. I just have a comment and a question. Since Vatican II, right? A lot of confusion. I am a revert myself. Anyway, you go to Mass, and during the homily, a lot of priests tell us what we should be doing by example, but they don't do it by example. And then the other question, because I go to a lot of different parishes in my travels, you know, I'm going somewhere and I'll pull over and go to church, right? I don't miss Sunday Mass at all or any holy days. But the thing is that some pastors at the different parishes, they're leading catechism classes, Bible study, day and night. They're making it available. And then when you go to these retreat centers, like there's a famous one in Sacramento, Christ the King, that's in their diocese, you go there and you should be coming back enriched. And yet I find some people coming back very confused because personal opinions from whoever's leading, and it's a sometimes a priest, you know, they'll tell you, oh, it's okay, there's going to be women priests, maybe it's going to be okay for same-sex marriage and all that. And I'm going, that's not doctrine.
All right, Trixie, let's let Eric take a stab at that. And I've never been to the retreat center she mentioned, so I'm not, Trixie, we'll let that be your opinion. But Eric, your response in general to Trixie's question
and
comments.
You know, for years, I kind of would get down on priests who didn't do what I thought they should be doing. And then for 5 years, I worked for a diocese, and I had very direct interaction with a lot of priests, and I saw their day-to-day life, and I saw what they had to handle. And I tell you what, I could have never done it. The life of a diocesan priest especially, we need to pray for them so much because it is a difficult life and it is very hard to get everything they have to do done and be able to do all the things. Because a lot of times I've seen in some situations a parish might be very small, maybe has a religious order staffing it, and so they have maybe three priests in a small parish and they can do everything. They can lead catechism, they can do Bible studies, do all this stuff. But then another parish might be one priest for a parish of 4,000 families. He's lucky to get through the day and just get the minimum done that he needs to get done to do his job. And so we shouldn't be too quick to judge the priests and what they do. In fact, we should just be praying for them. And more importantly, we need to step in. And we need to be praying for vocations, first of all, that we have more priests. I mean, that's the real issue here more than anything is we just don't have enough priests. So we need to pray for vocations, have more priests, you know, raise sons to become priests, things like that. And then just always offer a helping hand. If we have an idea for something, the best thing to do when you go to a priest is say, here's my idea and I'm going to do all the work. Don't say, here's my idea, you do it, because they probably just don't have the time to. They might think it's the greatest idea ever, but they simply just can't do it. So I would say that, pray for vocations, pray for our priests, and then just step up and fill in the gap and do whatever we can do to evangelize and to share faith with others.
Thank you for that call, Trixie. We're getting close to the top of the hour, so I am moving quickly through the calls now. Barbara in Maryland, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio, you are on with Eric Sammons. What's your question?
Yes, hello, Mr. Sammons. I have a question about my daughter runs an online Catholic magazine that, after she graduated Catholic homeschooling with a group of lovely homeschoolers, Catholic homeschoolers, and they were in their little literary, exercising their literary talents together. And then my daughter has like a calling she feels in her heart to evangelize. So she welcomed in some Protestant writers that didn't contradict anything Catholic that we teach, and as guest, writers. And then she became editor of the magazine and continued to meet other people, fallen away Catholics, atheists, Buddhists, so on. And she would see some beautiful poetry maybe they wrote.
Barbara, sorry to do this to you, but we're almost to the top of the hour. You got to make it a question, if you could.
Question quick is, how does a young person, she's getting a lot of criticism for welcoming in non-Catholics, and yet nothing contradicts the Catholic faith.
All right, let's let Eric, we got to let Eric take a shot at it. Go ahead, Eric.
I would just say there's absolutely nothing wrong with inviting our Protestant brothers and sisters, even people of other faiths, to be involved in the things we're in, as long as we're always faithful to what the church teaches. We never compromise on it. And if we feel like we're starting to feel like, oh, I can't say that because it might offend these people, might offend those people, then that's when we know, okay, we're probably in trouble. We need to always be able to be consistent. If a Protestant wants to be part of the organization that's explicitly Catholic and openly Catholic, welcome them in. And there's no problem with that. We just, as long as we're never compromising what we teach and what we believe and what we share in order not to offend people.
Can we evangelize together, Protestants and Catholics?
I guess the situation depends on it. In general, I'd probably say no, but there might be some situations. In general, though, I think that the Catholic faith, when we evangelize, we really want to stick to the essentials of the sacraments, and number one thing, evangelization, bringing the confession. So that's a very Catholic thing.
Amen to that. Eric Sammons, our guest this hour, thank you very much for being with us. And ericsammons.com, am I right? That's where people can get all your writing and find all about you. And you can get, you'll still be able to get, even when we're off the air, The Old Evangelization, How to Spread the Faith Like Jesus Did, at catholic.com for 25% off. And now let's all go out and do some evangelizing. I've got a couple calls from St. Paul Street Evangelization. They're all packing up the car right now. They're getting
ready
to go because the weekends are their big time.
That's right.
Yeah, we love them around here. And God bless all of you who are indeed taking on the Christ call that we go and make disciples of all the nations. Jesus Christ is the light of the nations. Let's stay in that light, and we'll see you again on Monday on Catholic Answers Live.